Light on the Path by Mabel Collins. Notes. Note on Rule Number 1, Kill Out Ambition. Ambition is the first curse, the great tempter of the man who is rising above his fellows. It is the simplest form of looking for reward. Men of intelligence and power are led away from their higher possibilities by it continually, yet it is a necessary teacher. Its results turn to dust and ashes in the mouth. Like death and estrangement, it shows the man at last that to work for self is to work for disappointment. But though this first rule seems so simple and easy, do not quickly pass it by. For these vices of the ordinary man pass through a subtle transformation and reappear with changed aspect in the heart of the disciple. It is easy to say, I will not be ambitious. It is not so easy to say, when the Master reads my heart, he will find it clean utterly. The pure artist who works for the love of his work is sometimes more firmly planted on the right road than the occultist, who fancies he has removed his interest from the self, but who has in reality only enlarged the limits of experience and desire, and transferred his interest to things which concern his larger span of life. The same principle applies to the other two seemingly simple rules. Linger over them, and do not let yourself be easily deceived by your own heart. For now, at the threshold, a mistake can be corrected, but carry it on with you, and it will grow and come to fruition, or else you must suffer bitterly in its destruction. Note on Rule Number 5. Kill out all sense of separateness. Do not fancy you can stand aside from the bad man or the foolish man. They are yourself, though in less degree than your friend or your master. But if you allow the idea of separateness from any evil thing or person to grow up within you, by doing so you create karma, which will bind you to that thing or person till your soul recognizes that it cannot be isolated. Remember that the sin and shame of the world are your sin and shame, for you are part of it. Your karma is inextricably interwoven with the great karma. And before you can attain knowledge, you must have passed through all places, foul and clean alike. Therefore remember that the soiled garment you shrink from touching may have been yours yesterday, may be yours tomorrow. And if you turn with horror from it, when it is flung upon your shoulders, it will cling the more closely to you. The self-righteous man makes for himself a bed of mire. Abstain because it is right to abstain, not that yourself shall be kept clean. Note on Rule 17. Seek out the way. These four words seem perhaps too slight to stand alone. The disciple may say, should I study these thoughts at all, did I not seek out the way? Yet do not pass on hastily. Pause and consider a while. Is it the way you desire, or is it that there is a dim perspective in your visions of great heights to be scaled by yourself, of a great future for you to compass? Be warned. The way is to be sought for its own sake, not with regard to your feet that shall tread it. There is a correspondence between this rule and the 17th of the second series. Inquire of the inmost, the one, of the final secret which it holds for you through the ages. When after ages of struggle and many victories the final battle is won, the final secret demanded, then you are prepared for a further path. When the final secret of this great lesson is told, in it is opened the mystery of the new way, a path which leads out of all human experience, and which is utterly beyond human perception or imagination. At each of these points it is needful to pause long and consider well. At each of these points it is necessary to be sure that the way is chosen for its own sake. The way and the truth come first. then follows life. Note on Rule 20. Seek it not by any one road. Seek it by testing all experience, and remember that when I say this, I do not say, yield to the seductions of sense in order to know it. Before you have become an occultist, you may do this, but not afterwards. When you have chosen and entered the path, you cannot yield to these seductions without shame, yet you can experience them without horror, can weigh, observe, and test them, and wait with the patience of confidence for the hour when they shall affect you no longer. But do not condemn the man that yields. Stretch out your hand to him as a brother pilgrim whose feet have become heavy with mire. Remember, O disciple, that great though the gulf may be between the good man and the sinner, it is greater between the good man and the man who has attained knowledge. It is immeasurable between the good man and the one on the threshold of divinity. Therefore be wary lest too soon you fancy yourself a thing apart from the mass. When you have found the beginning of the way, the star of your soul will show its light, and by that light you will perceive how great is the darkness in which it burns. Mind, heart, brain, all are obscure and dark until the first great battle has been won. Be not appalled and terrified by this sight. Keep your eyes fixed on the small light and it will grow. But let the darkness within help you to understand the helplessness of those who have seen no light, whose souls are in profound gloom. Blame them not, shrink not from them, but try to lift a little of the heavy karma of the world. Give your aid to the few strong hands that hold back the powers of darkness from obtaining complete victory. Then do you enter into a partnership of joy, which brings indeed terrible toil and profound sadness, but also a great and ever-increasing delight. Note on Rule Number 21. Look for the flower to bloom in the silence that follows the storm, not till then. The opening of the bloom is the glorious moment when perception awakes. With it comes confidence, knowledge, certainty. The pause of the soul is the moment of wonder, and the next moment of satisfaction, that is the silence. Know, O disciple, that those who have passed through the silence and felt its peace and retained its strength, they long that you shall pass through it also. Therefore, in the hall of learning, when he is capable of entering there, the disciple will always find his master. Those that ask shall have, but though the ordinary man asks perpetually, his voice is not heard, for he asks with only his mind, and the voice of the mind is only heard on that plane on which the mind acts. Therefore, not until the first 21 rules are passed, do I say those that ask shall have. To read in the occult sense is to read with the eyes of spirit. To ask is to feel the hunger within, the yearning of spiritual aspiration. To be able to read means having obtained the power and a small degree of gratifying that hunger. When the disciple is ready to learn, then he is accepted, acknowledged, recognized. It must be so, for he has lit his lamp and it cannot be hidden. But to learn is impossible until the first great battle has been won. The mind may recognize truth, but the spirit cannot receive it, once having passed through the storm and attained the peace. It is then always possible to learn, even though the disciple waver, hesitate, and turn aside. The voice of the silence remains with him, and though he leave the path utterly, yet one day it will resound and rend him asunder, and separate his passions from his divine possibilities. Then, with pain and desperate cries from the deserted lower self, he will return. Therefore I say, peace be with you. My peace I give unto you can only be said by the Master to the beloved disciples who are as himself. There are some, even among those who are ignorant of the Eastern wisdom, to whom this can be said, and to whom it can daily be said with more completeness. Regard the three truths, they are equal.